This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian with me today.
Daryl.
Did you forget your name?
No, for a second there was a little lag in there.
Oh, there was lag? That's not cool.
You're lag spiking, man.
Uh-oh. Anyway, hey guys, this is episode 231.5. That's right. We have a half an episode this time because we are going to talk about Season 3, Episode 5, Genre, from the HBO original series Westworld. And the reason that it's a 0.5 is coming out on Sunday, our regular show, I sat down with the director and producer of the movie Tournament, now streaming on Amazon Prime, and we have a great interview with them. But we wanted to make sure that we got to talk about Westworld this week so we didn't have to wait 2 weeks, because this was a freaking awesome episode. At least to us, I think some people may think differently, but before we get started, hey guys, make sure you go check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast, and see what you can do about helping out the show, because we want to start doing more of this, in between episode stuff. And there's some just different things that we want to do that, like, your contributions could help greatly. Anyway, how you doing, Daryl?
Doing pretty well. I actually watched it again yesterday, because, you know, there was a lot of little nice little things here and there. And yeah, Cooper, my cat's trying to, he wants to be interviewed right now.
Yeah.
like, dude, all you're going to say is meow. And that would get a lot of likes though.
Yeah.
It is kind of a cat world. Yeah. You know,
should I ask him? So Cooper, what's it like to be named after the best Manning?
I mean, yeah, he's looking
you named him after Cooper Manning, right?
No, actually, I adopted him. He was 2 years old, already had the name.
Oh.
Said, you know what? That's a cool name. So I mean, you're keeping that name, dude. Plus, he probably wouldn't have answered to any other name.
No,
he'd have looked at me like, dude, you're trying to rename me. Like, you're not adopting me, I'm adopting you. So.
How dare you rename me, sir? How dare you? I'm a cat, bow down to me. The ancient Egyptians revered and feared me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm being judged right now because I'm not paying him any attention.
Yeah,
so.
That's all right. I mean, you know, the dogs do the same thing. So, but they're just not as vindictive as the cats. Anywho.
Oh, no, not at all.
So this was a really, really interesting episode. I feel like after the reveal of the Delorei last week.
I like that Delorei.
They really needed to do something big and game changing this week. Or should we say genre changing? And I feel like they succeeded. I know, like, a bunch of my friends on Facebook were like, are railing on this season. Like, they're like, I hate it. It's a different show. It's not a different show. It's asking all the same questions about what is reality. And then now we have the whole idea that, like, this could all very well be a simulation. And, you know, when things go to the widescreen with the bars on the top and the bottom, you know, you're in a simulation. And so now I'm, like, really paying attention to the aspect ratio on my TV.
Well, I will say this. I will say this about your Facebook friend. They are right in one regard. On the surface, it is a different show. It has a different type of tempo to it. But, it, like you said, it's asking the exact same questions as it was from episode one of season one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, choice, control, decisions, consequences, what is reality, what is not reality. All those questions are... have been at, that's one thing this show has done, even though we've talked about before, I wasn't a huge fan of season two, but all that one through line has been there from the beginning. So yeah. On the surface, things have changed a little bit, but it's just surface level. And that actually kind of, you know, leads a little bit into this episode. You know, when things change on the surface, it's not the surface you need to be looking at. You need to be looking at a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see what's under there.
I still feel like a lot of this. So, like, you know, in Assassin's Creed, when you go into the it starts with an A.
The Animus.
The Animus. Thank you. When you go into the Animus, like, I feel like when we were seeing the black circle on the white background showing all the divergences, it felt very much like, okay, this is like a video game cut screen that's going to tell me like something's happening. And then now, yeah. Now we get the background. If that is Dolores actually reading files out of Rehoboam.
I've been saying it like five or six times every now and then today. So.
Rehoboam. Anyway, I don't care.
I just throw it together like that.
Yeah, it's the Rimbaldi ball. Anyway, we keep getting these like different insights to different parts of things and like people's past and like, you know, Caleb's past and like the different like little things with Bernard and then what's happening with William sort of thing. But then like Maeve was in a complete simulation with Warworld and now we're seeing Serac's past in this episode and we see the creation yeah. And we meet his brother and we meet Liam's dad, Liam Dempsey Sr. And, you know, the whole insight thing. And yeah, this was, I felt like, so I feel like a lot of times these type of shows just want to ask questions, right? They never want to answer anything.
Right.
And I feel like Westworld has, especially since the second third of the first season, done a really good job of asking and answering in a relatively short amount of time. It's not like Lost where we had to wait five seasons to get an answer to anything or like Battlestar. Like we had to wait four seasons to get some answers to Battlestar that we should have gotten in the second season.
Yeah.
Right. But I will say, so part of this episode, we get a lot of Serac's backstory. We meet his brother who is, one of these chaos agents that Rehoboam wants to get rid of. And I don't know, like, so we were, before we started, we were talking kind of about privacy and things like that. I think it's funny that the company was called Insight, and if you look back at the Winter Soldier and their Project Insight, was doing the same thing. Really, it was like it was using a computer algorithm to identify yep. divergence
voting record,
in the system.
You know,
yeah. And yeah.
Uh-oh.
What?
Are these related now?
Maybe. This is the future. This is the future where Hydra won. Bucky killed Cap in this future.
Damn it, Bucky.
Way to go, Bucky. So, I mean, the Team Tony people would think that. But anywho, stupid Team
but,
Tony
people. Like, before we get really into, like, all of this, I mean, because there's a lot of stuff, especially the moral choices on the second half of this episode that just, even now, like, probably like 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, after the season's over, I'm still going to be thinking about, because, I mean, some of the stuff we make jokes about, mm-hmm. you know, off air. But what I wanted to do is, especially after seeing how, I think it was a 63 on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know what the other episodes were of this season. This isn't my favorite episode of the season.
Yeah.
But this is the third week in a row that I've really, really enjoyed this show. And what I did is a couple of the things I liked and some things I didn't like. That didn't like list is kind of nitpicky. And the like list is more like Caleb. I just love Aaron Paul. I just love what he's doing.
Right.
And like you said, how they're kind of giving us a peek into his past and what Liam said to him at mm-hmm. the end. And I know we'll get to this, but was like, you did it. And it's like, what did he do?
Right.
The face off between Serac and Dolores. I think these are like, I don't really think, the more I think about this show, I don't think that there's a really a true protagonist in it between those two. It's, and the only reason I say that, well, one, we don't have enough information. We're still guessing why Dolores is doing this. And though we hear what Serac is doing, he's kind of like the Thanos in a mm-hmm. sense, where he's like, okay, to have humanity survive, we have to make these choices.
So I'm gonna not shit on your Thanos comment there, but I think mm-hmm. he's more the Merovingian from the Avenger or from the Matrix. He's the guy in the background pulling all the strings.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants the simulation to run the way he wants it to run. Whereas like Thanos just wanted, you know, Thanos didn't want to control anything. He just wanted life to life to find a way. To quote
however,
Dr. Ian
with Serac. Now I will say Serac does, you're right in one aspect, he does want to control everything.
Yeah.
However, you can't deny also that he, again, from his point of view, according to what he's saying, I'll put that caveat in there, that if A, B, and C happens, humanity destroys itself.
Sure.
So I think this might be, and this is a weird comparison, this might be like the Tiger King. He got in it for the right reasons, and right. then when he got the power, he wants to keep that power.
He's Serac Exotic.
Yeah.
Hey, just real quick, Rotten Tomatoes, episode 1, 81%, episode 2, 92%, episode 3, 95%, episode 4, 82%, and this one, 63%.
Ooh, that's a steep climb.
Yeah, and we have three episodes. I think Dolores explained everything pretty succinctly, though. We're at the end of the game now, or at the end of the maze. We've reached the kind of the end game for what's going to happen. And I think over the next three episodes, it's going to do a lot of setting up season four, and they're going to kind of clear the board a little bit to get ready for whatever the next evolution of the hosts being in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Serac is such an awesome character, though. I really hope he's around for like the duration of the series.
So I'll admit, I mean, first of all, I love him. Like Vincent Castle, or how do you pronounce it?
Yeah,
I don't
Cassell,
know if you pronounce
Castle.
It like that.
Yeah.
Cassell. Yeah, and he married up too. I'll just say that.
He married Monica Bellucci, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
Well, they got divorced. He's with a different woman now. But
oh, okay.
Anyway, well, someone named Tina.
But I will say that, like, first of all, the narrative about, you know, telling his backstory is 100% necessary. That you had to have that. At the same time, this is one of my nitpicks. I just thought it was a little bit exposition heavy, and when I say it's a nitpick, because I know it was necessary. Mm-hmm. But that was, if I was going to point out something, it's not that I didn't like it. It was one of the parts I was interested in parts of it. And then other parts, it was kind of slow moving.
Sure.
The slowest moving parts of the episode, honestly. But again, that's a nitpick. I'm not saying I hated that part or, you know, that was terrible, because it was absolutely necessary. I thought it was interesting seeing, you know, him and his brother. It's from what it sounded like, his brother was the actual mad genius. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Serac is a genius too.
Oh,
but
yeah.
His brother was on another level.
Yeah.
But, you know, he just, and it's interesting, they never explain what was wrong with him.
Well, he was just, he was a megalomaniac, remember? I mean, because when Dempsey was like kind of complaining about things, and he just walks up and he's like, we should kill him. It's like,
I mean, he said that pretty conversationally, like it's just, you know, kill him. He's gonna get in the way.
It's kind of like you talking to Cooper and like, hey, you hungry? And it's like, no. So, you know,
with Cooper, he's gonna be like, Cooper's going to be like, I'm a cat, damn it. I'm always hungry.
Yeah. Like, if you walked up to
Cooper, kind of like the Hulk, always angry.
Should we kill him? Like, looking at a bird or something, Cooper's going to be like, heck yeah, let's do it. But yeah, I don't know. I think seeing Liam Dempsey Sr. interacting with the two brothers, like, you really get the, for lack of a better term, insight into why Liam Dempsey Jr. is such a douchebag.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And yeah, I all of this was necessary because it gives us a better foundation of Ciroc himself. And it also, in giving that foundation, it also gives us, you know, that apple that Dolores is looking for. Mm-hmm. She's looking for his files.
Right.
She's looking for him, like, yeah, about him.
Well, because he's not anywhere on the web. Like,
right.
He's a literally a ghost in the machine right now, because he controls, you know, what was Solomon is now Rehoboam. And yeah, it was really, really interesting to watch that beginning part and getting that origin story. Mm-hmm. And then getting the way the power of Rehoboam corrupted everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because it definitely
power corrupt thing.
Yeah, I mean, it corrupted the brothers for sure, and it definitely, like, Dempsey was using it to, you know, just using it to make money and be greedy. And I think that being the base human instinct, like, you know, and it's really funny because this episode was shot and filmed and put in the can probably a year ago at this point, right?
Right.
And the fact of what we're going through right now and the way people are trying to hang on to wealth and not necessarily, like, looking at what would make the world a better place, right? Dempsey was that guy, and so when they staged his plane crash and Ciroc just smashed his head on the wing, I was like, fuck yeah. That's got, that is what, like that is someone who is not using the power of the mind reader or the fortune teller to change the world. Like, he saw a literal pariah and leech upon the world and just took it out.
But I will say this, that scene, even though that was important, but what's most important, I think, to that scene, or one of the most important things of an episode, is when he tells Dempsey before he smashes his head in, is he talks about, you know, Rehoboam, mm-hmm, might be this, you know, pointing you in this direction, making all these predictions, except, mm-hmm, with the outlier, mapping out your life. However, there are areas, little pockets, and how did he say it was like little pockets of agency or something along those lines, where there's that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we can get into that a little bit later, especially with what Dolores does.
Yeah.
And kind of the implications of that. And, you know, and what I said last week's episode, or maybe the week before that, when I said, you know, even if you're not in control, you always have a choice.
See, and I think they're trying to tell you that that's not true. It's when you're not in control, that's where you have the actual ability to make a choice.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant that
okay,
way.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I meant that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm right there with you, and I really liked. So when they're, we pick up with Liam Dempsey Jr. and Dolores Prime and Caleb, as, like, the last episode ended, and Liam Dempsey Jr. doses Caleb with genre, which we heard about at the middle of the last episode. So it's like, oh, okay, that's coming back somehow. Oh, the next episode is called genre. I wonder what's going to happen there. I got to say, the way that they use that drug, one, having Ash and Giggles show back up made me very happy. Cause I love Marshawn Lynch in this role, and Lena Waithe is, I think, a fantastic actress and should be in everything. So, you know, but when Marshawn Lynch walks up, he goes, ah, he's on, you know, he's tripping balls, and oh, he's on genre. But the way that like the way that they film this, like, I can understand why people necessarily didn't care for this, because when we were from Caleb's POV, we weren't ever like looking through his eyes. We were watching him. And so like when it went black and white for the noir part, and when it went, you know,
Flight of the Valkyries
and stuff, it was like, you know, it was a little disconcerting for sure, but
yeah,
but it was still so much fun.
And how fun was that, where it's going, they're having this shootout, and then it goes to the love story theme when he looks at Dolores. And then, you know, the other things, they had that the Iggy Pop song where they're doing that, what I called, like, what I wrote down here, the hero walk.
Uh-huh.
Where they're doing the nightclubbing song, which I was like, I've heard that before, and it was in Trainspotting.
Yeah. So if you go to TuneFind, it has,
oh,
like,
I love
all,
that. It's like,
yeah. So like it had the Space Odyssey or Oddity classic rock string quartet when they were riding in the subway elevator, right?
Right.
And then, like you said, the theme from Love Story during the gunfight in the city, and he's looking at her, and she's all like clenched jawed, like action hero pose, which I thought was great and so sexy. Yeah, and you know, the Flight of the Valkyries during the car chase. And did you stick around and watch like the little like post credit like making of like thing that they do?
Yes.
So I loved how the stunt coordinator was like, I kept trying to push back and be like, no, let's not do this. And then they were like, Jonathan Nolan was like, no, we need to push further and make it more exciting and blow more stuff up. And, you know,
yeah,
it was really cool to see.
I love those after post, you know, the postmortems on those shows like that on the HBO does.
Yeah. And then the last song from Fisher Spooner. It's called Emerge, and it was in Gran Turismo 4, the game.
It was on
multiple episodes of Nip Tuck. It was in one of the FIFA World Cup games, and yeah, I mean, it was in Grandma's Boy as well. But yeah, like that song, like I totally downloaded that song.
Oh yeah, and I was listening to the lyrics. It was perfect for what was going on. But we didn't mention the biggest, well, the horror genre.
Oh,
when
yeah,
they did The Shining.
Yeah, I forgot
and
about
I loved,
The Shining. Yeah,
in the very start, Giggle says, "Watch out for that last act."
Yeah,
and I was kind of debating on myself, like, what is the horror about that? Is it A, because Dolores released all of this stuff to everyone? Basically, people are reading their futures.
Yeah.
For
so
lack of a better term.
Let's save that one for a second.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go back. Yeah.
Because I think when, let's talk about the Red Rummer here for a sec. The horror was he got a tidbit of information about who he may actually be, and Dempsey could not finish what he was telling him. And also at the same time, Caleb was trying to legitimately save his life, and he knew he couldn't do it.
So this is my other question.
Oh yeah,
now.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I always assumed that he knew Dolores was something different. But when she gets shot, the look he gives her is like, okay, she is not human. And for whatever reason, I was thinking he already knew that, but by the look on his face when she got, you know, when those two mercs come out and put holes in her, the look on his face is like, oh shit.
Well,
what is going on here?
I think he was surprised that he stepped in front and saved him as well.
Well,
like, I think
well,
that's
I,
part
I was
of
just
the
looking
thing.
At how he.
Yeah, no, I yeah, get it. I know what you're saying, and I agree.
So that's what we're, because when she's getting on the plane, oh, I wish I'd have wrote down that quote he said to her, that line he says about, like, something along the lines of about who I am or being human or something about that, where it was one of those things you say that has a double meaning.
Yeah.
And it was about him, but it was also about her.
Right.
And he kind of gives her this look. And so there's a tension there now, I think, between those two that, again, I don't know how big it'll play in the future, because I still think he's all in.
Yeah.
But I think he does have some doubts now, not necessarily about what he's doing but about who he's allying himself with.
Yeah, like, who is this person and why am I why am I following her?
Yeah.
But, and I want to know what's in the bag. I'm assuming it's a gun. But yeah, I pulled the scene up here real quick. But yeah, I mean, like, her conversation with Ciroc there.
Oh, that was great.
At the end was really good. But yeah, all right. So the what were we going back to? Oh, her letting the cat out of the bag. So the whole reason they needed to keep Liam Dempsey alive is to get like the second part of his hard key, so that the Chibs version of Dolores, Martin, could walk right up to Rehoboam and put the tablet down and just pull all the data that they needed, regardless of access, right?
Right.
And what a great scene when he's like, Charlie, take a piss. you know, and it's like, okay. So, like, they did their research. They knew who this guy was. They knew how he would react to this stuff. But that whole scene, because he was saddled with Bernard and Stubbs for a lot of it, was quite interesting. And, you know, Dolores, that version of Dolores, definitely knew what they were getting into and knew this was a suicide mission from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until the second viewing that you see that he knew he wasn't coming back from that mission.
Right.
Which I think the way they played that so subtly was really interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason why this is one of those shows that you get so much more from it watching it a second time through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, having him playing off like, oh yeah, no, I'll find out who it is. You know, I'm going to definitely miss Tommy Flanagan for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, Palm from Guardians of the Galaxy, when she shows up, like, that's when you know things are going bad. But Dolores had planned for that already.
Yeah, she's several, and that's the thing. It seems like for the first time, Ciroc is having to play catch up.
Yeah, he's not used to playing with someone who understands what's happening. But again, you know, you think back to the first season and they loaded all that information into James Abernathy's memory core, right? Mm-hmm. Like what they have as a brain is the most amazing computer on the planet. And so she can take in information and turn it around and you know, decipher what needs to be the next move so much faster than anything else. And then she also read the library of all of the human thoughts of all of the people that were in Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
Plus she has that James Abernathy file somewhere. Is it in her head? I don't know. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm all in to see where this goes. The ethical question, should she have shown people their future? What are your thoughts?
This is where, like, there's no, for me at least, there's no absolute. I have an issue, and again, we're going back to the Ciroc thing. One of the things he says is, you know, there's these outliers, and the way he talks about the outliers, it's just like, yeah, so we send them to war, make them useful. You know, they're just basically tools. Mm-hmm. Because they, you know, they're not going to provide anything to society.
Right.
And let's be honest, there are people that are outliers that, you know, that are, for whatever reason, and this is my, like, that are bad. Now, is that because there's the psychological thing? Well, if we have this supercomputer, couldn't the supercomputer help in certain instances? And that's one of the things, you know, on my second time through, I was mm-hmm. thinking about. But, like, as far as the moral question of showing people their future, it's so funny because in so many genres or in so many films and shows and books, that's the no-no. You don't show mm-hmm. somebody their future because you don't know how they're going to react. And then Dolores does this. I don't know if, because there are certain instances I think you need to, because people can make a change. Mm-hmm. And yet there are going to be the people that just embrace the chaos and just say, you know what, this is my future. Screw it. I'm going to do anything I want to anyone I want, no matter what, because this is, hey, this is what this says about me.
Yeah. But I also think it
there are some people that would
how the program, we'll just call it the program, was guiding people to a specific life outcome, like the one woman who it wouldn't let have babies, you know, or showing the mom that her little girl was going to commit suicide in like 8 years. You know, I think it was doing certain things to try and keep people from, you know, killing themselves, or in the case of the lady with the genetic disorder, keeping that from perpetrating throughout society. Like, you know, that's a eugenics thing. And, you know, that is an ethical question and argument I'm not willing to have.
Speaking of that, you know, it's funny that where Maeve was in War World, this is something completely up their alley, you know, of, you know, how the Nazis looked at things.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the Nazis had eugenics programs. I mean,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know. So I just think that's, you know, that just making that and putting her in there in that. And I don't know if I think we might be going back next week or this
yeah, upcoming episode. It looks like on Sunday we're going back to War World. But is it War World or is it the simulation of War World? That's right. The question, right? I just like I said, from last week learning about the Dolori, and then losing Connell's, like we did this week. So like that version of Dolores is gone, but there were six balls when Hale, the host version of Hale, took them out of Westworld at the end of season two. Right. So we've got the main Dolores. We've got Hale Loras. We had Connell's. And then we had the guy from Shogun World, Masashi.
What's his name? Masashi, yeah. Masashi.
So that's four. And then she had Bernard. So that's the fifth one. So there's a sixth ball that's either in play somewhere and we don't know, or hasn't, like, that's a thing that hasn't, that's a card that she still has up her sleeve. I mean, regardless, it's a card she still has up her sleeve.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, I think it's going to be that card. And I'm glad you mentioned Bernard, because I am fascinated. Because, you know, the Connell's Dolores says, you know, you're the only one we can't lose. Because one is because he's the only, you know, version of himself out there. But
right.
What is his role in all of this?
Connell's role or Bernard's role?
No, Bernard's role.
So when he tells Bernard, you're the one we can't lose, I think it's because that's the only copy of Bernard or Bernard, you know, Bernard Arnold, whatever, that exists. And he is the one who can help bring the hosts into the real and kind of set them up to be, you know, the next evolution of human existence, right? But I think, like, I don't know. Like, thinking of this as like the X-Men, right? Dolores isn't all bad. She's not all good either. So she's kind of like Magneto. She makes valid points. And then you have Bernard, who's kind of that Professor X kind of role right now. I mean, he's not creeping on like young Jean Grey or anything like that. But like, fuck it. Professor X is a goddamn supervillain. You know, he does
well,
a lot
become
of
one slot.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, like, you look at all the times he's, like, altered people's minds and altered their perception and altered their reality and faked his own death. And, you know, he does all of these things that's never really very heroic. It's a wonder why the OG X-Men are all screwed up. I mean, Beast is a supervillain. So let's not split hairs about that one either. But I think Bernard is going to be the one who they think is going to set them free. But because Bernard understands who he is, he has choice. and enjoys taking choice away from other hosts with his, you know, seesaw motor functions button there. I think at the end it's going to be them against Bernard.
Yeah, you said that. And this, it goes back to the whole Dolores thing. What is her angle? Is it, and I think what she did is more of a, not because she wants humanity free, not because she was trapped in her own cycle of being out, unable to control what happened to her. I think it was just a byproduct of getting what she wants.
Yeah.
And it's, yes, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes some people, a person might do something and it looks at as good, but it's almost incidental, mm-hmm. in the sense of, oh yeah, you did that. Well, I was looking out for myself and I helped you. Okay, whatever. And that's the fascinating thing for me. I like this where we don't have, it's everybody is in shades of gray.
Yeah.
Whether it's her, whether it's Bernard, because like you said, you know, he's used his seesaw motor functions, you know, a little toy. Siroc, obviously. Mm-hmm. And even Caleb, you know, this guy, because like, what is going on with him? And who did he kill? That was Veronica's dad. And
yeah,
that's what I said to you. I was like, what did she kill? Did he kill Veronica's dad?
Yeah, I don't know. So I think there's a lot to find out. I mean, like Enrico is in the show as Whitman. The character has a name, okay. So I'm assuming he's going to show up again. But you know, there's the argument, like, is Caleb, right? Is he a host of some kind? Is he like a next level of a host, or mm-hmm. is it, you know, because his mom was like, you're not my son, I don't recognize you, and you know, like, I don't know, it's so,
well, she also had dementia or something,
and I get that, but at the same time,
but like, it could have been one of those, you know, things that, like I said earlier about, you know, the, you know, double meanings,
mm-hmm.
which again, this might be a small thing, but one of the cool things I liked in the beginning was when Siroc was it Venezuela or like somewhere in Central America.
Oh yeah, when he was just with the dictator, and he's like, yeah.
Did you know? And again, this is a small thing. That when the dictator kept like knocking the fly away, and the fly never flew over towards Siroc.
Right.
I don't know if I'm just like looking into this. Like I noticed it the first time around, but I really noticed it the second time around. Where
do you think maybe he never got off the plane? It was all like he was just all hologram.
Yeah, I. There is something about him that, you know, I know we were talking about how Dolores has her own, you know, has that that final, you know, memory core, mm-hmm. to play. There's something that, you know, Siroc, he has in his own wheelhouse that he's holding back, and something we don't know about him. And I know you, was it a couple episodes ago, we talked about, is he real?
Yeah.
Or is he what? Well, again, it's one of those things that
I think his card to play is he has all those divergences in that hospital.
Yes.
And what happens if he lets them loose back on the world, right? Is he like, again, to go to the X-Men, is he like Apocalypse letting the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse loose, mm-hmm. on the world by letting them out or letting them live up to their chaotic potential? I don't know. I mean, This is what I'm loving about this show is every time they answer something, they ask another question with that answer, but compounding upon what they're trying to tell us as a story. Like, I think, like, much like Robbie is the superior Amel, I think Jonah is the superior Nolan.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me that, and I'll just say this: when the well-known Nolan, when Christopher Nolan has every his ducks in a row, I mean, he has, you know, he has stuff like Memento and, mm-hmm. The Dark Knight, which again I really like that movie, but I think it's still overrated. Or something like Inception, which is amazing.
Right.
I don't know how Tenet's. I don't know where Tenet's gonna fall. Mm-hmm. But then he also has The Dark Knight Rises, and, you know, so yeah, John, this storytelling in this from start to finish, like I said, they put new coats of paint on it, like each season, but under the core, like underneath that paint, that the core still remains of, right. You know, we all have one of the things that I think it was Connell said is we all have a role to play. And that's, you know, go back to season one, episode one, you know, that's all Westworld was.
Oh, yeah.
The people that went there, you know, is for a role to play. Now, you know, obviously it was the idea was for something bigger, but for people that went there, that's all it was, is playing a role. It's I'm in control. I can do all of this.
Yeah.
But now, you know, in the real world, that question comes around that these people don't really have control over their lives.
Right.
But they still, and again, you know, we find that people, you know, people have a habit of blaming everyone else for their problems. A lot of people, you know, just regular people. And even someone like Liam, where he says, he's like, the system isn't the prison. You all are to all of us when he's talking about he's blaming people like Ash and Giggle for why we can't be, you know, as a society.
This is why we
want to be.
You're why we can't have nice things.
Can't have nice things. I just think it's kind of funny that everybody's always looking to blame someone else.
Uh-huh.
And now people are going to, I'm wondering the question going back to the morality of, do we show people their future? Like what people, there are going to be people that actually look at that and say, you know what? Screw that. I'm not doing this. And then absolutely change their lives. That's why I do think it is kind of criminal to hold back when you have this technology. I mean, again, we're counting with the technology they have with Rehoboam. Mm-hmm. Ah, there we go. I said it. but then there's other people that are just going to say, you know what? You know, they're just going to fall into their baser instincts. And people like Liam just assumes everyone's going to do that.
And I mean, he even made the comment about, hey, they're already devolving to their base instinct.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, it's really cool to see what they're going to do. But yeah. So, all right. I think, you know, that's enough.
Yeah. We honestly, this is an episode we could talk about for 2 hours easily.
But I think we're going to start rehashing things by doing that. I understand. So here's the thing is I do legitimately understand why people are having trouble with this season. I understand why people are having trouble with this particular episode. I will say, the Amy Forrester, who directed this, or Anna Forrester. She was the cinematographer on Day After Tomorrow, right? The Nolan Emmerich disaster movie where New York freezes over. Where the whole Northern Hemisphere freezes over. And like she has an amazing eye. And for her to jump genres, I hate anyway for her to I hate the punniness of what we're doing right now for her to jump genres like she did, and the way that they used music to do it, to then build off of the visual cues, because the music cues kicked in before the visual cues, and I found that so very cool.
So it's funny you hit on all three words that I said were some of the best part, and I didn't say it yet, but in my notes, cinematography, musical score, the visuals, absolutely fantastic in this episode. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think what's
it's been that way all season,
but I mean they have different directors every episode. But I mean, you know,
yeah,
she knocked it out of the park. Zoe White was the cinematographer on this, like killed it. I think my favorite parts were Caleb. I think my favorite parts were Connell's sacrifice at the end. And I think, Marshawn Lynch is always going to be my favorite part of the episode. But, you know, I
love his shirt. I want that shirt.
Right. I'm pretty sure it'll be a Hot Topic soon. And then the whole idea that, like, you know, freedom of choice, freedom to choose, free will is not necessarily a choice, right? like everybody's walking around like they're these perfect little happy meals, just living their life the best way that they can. But in reality, their life is being steered in a specific direction by a computer program.
But again, and that's like the vast majority of their lives. But like again, going back to what Siroc says, you still have that choice. You still have a nugget here and there, or right. white space, I think he said, or
yeah, the white space, yeah.
Yeah, where choice is there. And now, I was just going to say, now that people know their futures, are they just going to, and again, I'm kind of rehashing back, are you going to just live by that as the script for your life? Or are you going to throw it in the garbage? If it's negative, that is,
right.
throw it in the garbage and move forward and say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to make something better of myself. If not for me, and like for that woman, for instance, if not for me, for my child.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think the whole idea of the white space there is you have to be self-aware and cognizant enough to recognize you're in that moment. And because the way most people are steered, they don't have that ability.
Yeah. I don't want to keep going over that. I just think that it's, and again, we might get a little bit more of an idea later on down the road. I mean, we have enough kind of right now, but yeah, like to that whole thing about what would you rather live in? And, you know, when Caleb says, I'd rather live in chaos than, basically be controlled.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it reminded me of Milton, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven.
Right. Yeah.
And well, it's kind of interesting because now he has to, not make amends, but he has to kind of realize that did he actually make a deal with the devil?
Yeah. Is Dolores the devil? And we're going to find that out.
So,
all right, cool. Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, if you're listening to this and you didn't like this episode, please email us and let us know what you thought. If you liked it, email us and let us know what you thought. But I'm really interested in the people who didn't like this episode or who aren't enjoying this season, because I love this show. And I think just the way this season has evolved has been really exciting.
Absolutely. Especially again, last season, I'm going to revisit all three seasons sometime, maybe this summer, especially if there's nothing going on as far as on TV.
As soon as episode 8 is done, like the next day, I'm going back to episode 1 and I'm starting over, and I'm going to watch all three of these in like all three seasons in like the matter of a few days. So,
and just to see how that underlying principles, and I would say this about people who say it's a different show too. Go back and I know a lot of people won't, but like the people that do, go back and look. The same message is there from episode 1 up until now. It's just, it's a little different on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. On that note, you can find us at infamouspodcast.com. It's got links to everywhere you can subscribe to the show. It has links to our shop. Check out our shop at flyingporkapparel.com. Pick up a t-shirt. They're awesome. If you like The Mandalorian, we have a really cool shirt that says This is the Way in Arabesh. You can order it now and get it before May 4th, Star Wars Day, for the final episode of Clone Wars and the first episode of The Mandalorian documentary that launches that week. But yeah, and then like I said in the beginning of the show, check out our Patreon, infamouspodcast.com/Patreon. And then if you want to follow us on social media, it's at Infamous Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Really easy to find. If you like what you're hearing, give us a 5-star review if you're on Apple Podcast. If you're not on Apple Podcast and you have friends who like this kind of stuff, when we're not social distancing, grab their phone, open their Spotify account, subscribe to the show, and set up their notifications so they can listen to all of this nonsense as well. Anyway, Daryl, any last words?
Yeah, just another excellent episode. I'm really looking forward to what's going on. We only have 3 more left, yep. So, which is good.
Yeah.
That taking 2 episodes away, I think that was a positive.
Yeah.
to tighten up the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is. And we'll talk to you soon. Later.